So if you have your Bibles, I hope you do, open them up to John chapter 5. And we're talking about how God's word is your power. John chapter 5. We're talking about how God's words are your power. Say, His words, my power. And we looked at a story of a man who had been sick for 38 years. Jesus encounters him, and he heals him. This guy's not even sure who this was. It was Jesus. And the key point is this. This man had the words of God. Jesus told him, take up your bed and walk. And he did that. And what we said last week is, after being sick, where you couldn't walk for 38 years, even if you felt strength in your legs, how many know history is a strong deterrent for you moving forward? And some of you, you've allowed, you know what, history to deter you from moving forward. You know what? Maybe your parents weren't very affluent. Maybe they never had, a good job. Maybe they never were educated. Maybe they don't come from a spiritual background. And for whatever, you know what, that Satan has told you, you can't, you've believed that, and let me tell you what, that will hinder you. Let me tell you about God. Satan says you can't, God says you can. Amen? God says you can do all things through Him that strengthens you. So Jesus is there talking to this man and telling him, and here's the powerful point. Here's what I wanted you to catch. That this guy did what Jesus told him to do. I think really, a lot of times, our life is really could get much, 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 much better if we would just do what God tells us to do. Amen? Beyond what we think is possible. Remember when Jesus spoke to that fig tree and he cursed it? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And he says, you know what? And then the day after, Peter comes out and says, look what happened. And then Jesus says, have faith in God. Why do you question what he's really saying? Why do you question the power of my words? And then, very important, then he takes it. See, we've got to... I remember back in the day, we used to go to Bible study on Wednesday night when I was growing up. And after Bible study, we would go to the market and get a frozen pizza and come home and watch wrestling. You know what? Amen. And Bobo Brazil and all the good wrestlers. Back then, they had some good wrestlers, amen? Now, I'm not sure, but back then, they had good wrestlers. These guys were out of shape, but they were still good. Yeah. Used to be, anyway, but what I used to like is I used to like when they would do the tag team. And the tag team was cool because, so you had two guys against two guys, and they'd be wrestling, and the one guy would just be getting, he would just get beaten up big time. And he would try to reach out to, the guy, his buddy would be over the ropes, over the ropes, trying to reach out to him. And you know all that stuff's real, right? Okay. Don't tell Jeremy it's not. Okay, anyway, that's a different point. But he'd be reaching over just, and this guy would be just be, and they'd almost touch. And then that guy would take his legs and pull him this way. Okay. And I'd be like, ugh. And it was always, I always wanted, there was usually a good team and a bad team. You know what I mean? Boom. And when they finally touched, it was like, okay. And that guy would be, come on in, just, yeah. Okay. Here's my point. We need to get the handoff. Are you hearing me? We need to get the handoff. Let's turn to that. I want to show it to you. Mark chapter 11. Guys, you got to flow with me in the back. Mark chapter 11. Yeah, look, go up to Mark chapter 11, go up to 18. Okay, we'll go back to this story in a minute. Let's go back to this story we were talking about last week. So Jesus heals this guy. This guy he does what Jesus tells him to do. He has the word, he takes up his bed and he starts walking around. You know what I mean? The problem with that is back in that day, the Jewish people said, you can't work on the Sabbath. And they said they thought he was working because he was taking, had his bed. You know what I mean? So they're like, why are you doing that? And the guy's like, what are you talking about? What's the big deal? I'm just doing what that guy told me to do. You think people would be happy with that? The guy had been, you think church people, should church people be happy when God connects with somebody? Amen. But instead, they're focused on the wrong thing. It's so interesting because in the text, I was reading this today. I was like, unbelievable. In the text, the Bible says, they sought to kill him. I don't know. Have you read anywhere in the Bible that you shouldn't kill people? Hell, are you catching this? Do we do this sometimes? We forget the major things and the minor things we want to make a big deal of. Amen?
Amen. Come on.
You know, they're going to get upset because he's caring. And so they are so upset that this guy, imagine this. This guy is not observing the Sabbath. That they're going to kill Jesus. How many know killing Jesus might be worse than carrying a bed around on Sunday or Saturday? How many know that might be a little worse? But what happens is our twisting gets all twisted up. I remember a pastor, and it's not a big thing now anymore. You know what? Everybody wears baseball caps now. But I remember back in the day, that was like kind of like, hey, dude, you don't wear a baseball cap in church. You know what I mean? And I remember this one pastor was upset and told the youth pastor, hey, make sure these kids, when they come to church, they take off their baseball hat. And the youth pastor was trying to be respectful to the senior pastor, but he was like, Pastor, you know how hard it is that these kids are coming to church on Sunday? Like, can we not focus on the baseball hat right now? Amen? Amen. Amen. You know? Can we focus on what's important as a church? Can we focus on what's really, really important as a church? Can we not be religious like they were religious? Watch this, verse 18. And the scribes and the chief priest heard it. Who are these? These are the church people. Amen. Yeah. Be careful, church people. We can be the worst of them. I'm not saying we are. I'm saying we need to be conscious of it. Does that make sense? The scribes and the chief priest heard it and sought how they might destroy him. Here it is again. For they feared him because all the people were astonished at his teachings. When evening had come, he went out of the city. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw a fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look. Look. Go back to verse 14. Go back to verse 13. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he might find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. Sometimes it's not the season for lemons. But I'll go out and see if there are some lemons on the tree. Why will I do that? Because I don't want to go to the grocery store and pay, 58 cents for a lemon. Amen. And sometimes I'll go out there and like, all the other lemons are green, but I'll find one yellow one. Amen. How many know that's a happy day? See, Jesus knows it's not season for figs, but he's hungry. So he's going to see if maybe I can find a fig anyway. He said, well, Jesus, that's pretty harsh on that tree. It wasn't even his season. How many know Jesus says that we should be ready in season and out of season? Amen? How many know he's trying to teach us something? We need to be ready all the time. Amen. In response, Jesus said to it, what did he do? Come on, I got the answer right up here. What did he do? What did he do? What did he do? Come on, everybody, what did he do? What did he do? What did he do to it? He said. Somebody say, he said. Listen. When you are listening to somebody on Christian radio who's mocking that there's power in your words, do me a favor. Turn them off. Turn them off. Why? Because you need to, how many know you only have so much time? I didn't say turn them off and start listening to, play that funky music, white boy. I didn't say that. But what I am saying is turn that off and start listening to someone that's going to teach you the word. Amen. This, listen, and the reason I'm teaching you this is because I need to protect the sheep. Amen. Amen. And this backlash in the body of Christ against, mocking. Listen, you want to mock somebody? Mock Jesus, because he's the one who came up with this power of the tongue. Really? Don't put up with it and stop listening to these people. Amen. Amen. My mom, I don't know why she used to do this. Moms, don't do this anymore, okay? She'd go to the refrigerator and smell the milk, and it would smell sour. And then what would she do to me? No, she should have thrown it out. What would she do? She'd say, smell this. I think it's sour. Listen, lady, if you think it smells sour, I believe you. Amen. I'll take your word for it. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Listen, I'll take your word for it. Amen. See, what am I saying? Listen. If Jesus says, he said, do you see this? In response, Jesus said to it. What's the it? It's the fig tree. Jesus speaks to trees? What's the proper answer for that? Yes. Jesus speaks to trees. He speaks to trees. He speaks to wind. Does Jesus speak to wind? Why? Does Jesus speak to dead people? See, what's he doing? He's using my words are spirit and they're life. He's using his words to change the situation in the world. In the atmosphere that he lives in. He's going to listen, there's going to be no one ever again that goes to that fig tree and will be disappointed. It ain't going to happen anymore. Amen? Why? Because he cursed it. Amen? And Jesus is teaching us we can curse things and we can bless things. Amen. How many know there is some things that we should curse? What'd you learn today? Man, Pastor said I could curse. Don't take me out of context. Don't take me out of context. I'm not talking about, you know what? There are some things that should be cursed by Christians. Amen. Sickness and disease. Let's curse sickness and disease. Amen. Let's curse that in our life. That's what Jesus did. He ran, we talked about Sunday. He went around seeing holes, deficits, and he filled those holes. How did he fill those holes? With his words. Here, proof. How did he fix that guy who couldn't walk for 38 years? How did he take care of that situation? Come on, somebody help me out. Well, come on, let's study it. Let's study it. Where is it found? John. Keep your place there. Turn to John chapter 5. Turn to John chapter 5. Look at verse 6. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition for a long time, 28 years, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" Very, very interesting. I don't have time to teach it. Sorry. Okay. Chapter 7. The sick man, the what man? The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Tell me the next two words. Everybody tell it to me. Just the next two words. Jesus what? Everybody, Jesus what? Okay, let's do it five times. Ready? Everybody, five times. Wait for me. Ready, go. What did Jesus do? He said. He said. That is the power. The power is in the word of God. Jesus said to him, look what he said, "Arise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. And then they have the whole situation with that day. Turn back to Mark 11. See, what am I telling you? That's what you have. You have God's words. And God's words will be your power. Amen. Mark 11, 14. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." Ever. I'm going to change this. I'm going to change this situation. I'm going to change this that was happening. I'm going to change it. How many know there might be some stuff in your life you need to change? And what many people do, many Christian people do, are y'all here tonight? What many people do is they all that they know to do is to do what their parents have done. How many, I'm just asking, I'm not asking for details, but how many had some crazy parents who spoke some craziness? Come on. Spoke craziness. How many had some parents who yelled some craziness? I remember I was in high school, and my best friend was, his parents were originally from Cuba. I went over to his house, and we were in the garage, and the garage was attached to the house, and I heard this crazy yelling. Not like yelling, crazy yelling. Y'all know the difference between yelling and crazy yelling? Yeah. Crazy yelling. And I was, I didn't know a lot of Spanish at the time. Now I know all kind of Spanish, but back then, I didn't know a lot of Spanish. And crazy yelling. And Lewis said, "Here, just a minute." And he walked in, and then the yelling didn't get loud less. It got more. It went from two people yelling to three people. Loud. And I was like, oh, man, I probably need to go. You know what I mean? I need to leave. You know what I mean? But I felt uncomfortable leaving because I thought, well, if I leave and then, you know what I mean, I need to at least say bye or something. But I'm not going to go in the house, that's for sure. And then, like, 10 minutes later, yelling. And then Lewis came back out, and he was like, we were painting this poster. And he's like, oh, you know what I mean? And he started painting the poster. I'm like, oh, dude, should I go? You know what I mean? Should I leave? And true story. And Lewis is like, what? What? And then I was like, well, I thought maybe. And then I felt, even though he's like, well, what do I say now? You know what I mean? I was like, well, I just didn't know if it's a good time, right? You know what I mean? And then he's like, oh, that yelling? I was like, yeah. Yeah. I'm like, yeah. And then he's like, oh, that we always yell. He just went back to, you know what I mean? Amen. Yeah, I don't know what they were saying, but my thought is probably they weren't saying, hey, what's for dinner? Amen. I don't think they're saying, ooh, you know, the food is delicious. I don't think they could have been saying that, but I don't think they were saying that. My point is, sometimes we just get around these atmospheres of many of us have lived in those kind of atmospheres of just cursing. And maybe it's not cursing, but cursing is cursing whether it's yelling or not yelling. Amen? A rose is still a rose by any other name. You know what I mean? So many times we just become, that's what we've learned, and that's what we continue to do. And Jesus is like, God is talking. How many believe God speaks to us? God is speaking to us tonight and saying, hey, whoa, time out. Time out. It's my words, but it's your power. Remember why we went here? We're talking about handing off. We're talking about tagging. We're talking about God saying, no, listen, I have the power, but there's a passage. Remember that passage? And it says, well, how does faith speak? Faith doesn't speak this way. God, come down and help me. Or God, come up and help me. Faith doesn't say that. Faith says that God's words is even unto our own mouth. Wow, so, some of you looking like you have never heard this before. Well, maybe you haven't. But tonight's your night. See, you need to walk out of here with the decision that you are going to change your life. Yes. Why? Because Who's going to change it? Who's going to change it if you don't change it? Who's going to change the direction of your kids if you don't? Who's going to change the direction of your family? Who's going to change? You know, what are you going to wait for your wife to change it? That's what happens all the time. Amen. Husbands are waiting for their wives to change things. Husbands, I love you. Stop it. Amen. You take charge. Amen. Wives are waiting. Oh, you know what? Well, you know, wives are waiting for their husbands to do it. Stop it. Amen. God's not a respecter of persons. You can speak over your family. Parents are waiting for, you know, it's like, oh, I don't know. Listen, let's stop acting like we're helpless. Well, huge problem. We knew this when we first started this church. We knew one of the biggest problems in this church is when this society is a society of victims. What's wrong with being a victim? It's awful. Listen, being a victim, I like what Joyce Meyer says. You can either become a victor or a victim, but you can't do both. Amen? So you got to figure it out. You say, well, yeah, but Pastor, I've only, you know, these are the cards that have been dealt with me. You know what I mean? I got a 3 and I got a 2 and I got an 8. That's all I got. You know what I mean? Well, you can either cry about the cards that have been dealt with you, or you can start turning your life around. Amen. Listen, I don't have time, but I could give you story after story after story after story after story of people that. Well, take Joyce Meyer, great example. Take Joyce Meyer for an example. Joyce Meyer was sexually abused. I'm saying this publicly because she says it publicly all the time. I wouldn't ever reveal that. You know, except I know I have permission because, you know what I mean? Me and Joyce and Tamara go out every other. Yeah. Joyce, I know you're listening to this. We love you. Amen. That was a joke. I don't think Joyce is listening to us now. But she could. Amen. You're all right. That's all right. Right. Amen. Amen. We know if she did, she'd be blessed tonight, right? I'll give you another chance to say amen. We know if she did, she'd be blessed tonight, right? Joyce Meyer has, you know what, been sexually abused, you know what, over and over and over. We're not talking about one incident. You know, some people get sexually abused a couple times or something like that. We're not talking about this. We're talking about a repetitiveness. And watch this. To make it even worse, her mom had some kind of indication that that was going on and just looked the other way. You think it's bad that your dad is sexually abused? I mean, what an awful life. And then your mom is going to kind of look the other way and just ignore it like it's not happening. Oh, my God. You talk about somebody who could think that they had a right to be a victim. That's one of them. And yet she recognizes, what good is that going to do? How many people has Joyce Meyer been a blessing to because she refuses to play the victim card? Amen? Now, I'm not suggesting that your life hasn't been hard. I'm not suggesting that you haven't had trials. I'm not suggesting that everything in your life wasn't roses. Here's what I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting that for whatever isn't right, you understand that his words is your power, and you don't have to live in the same mess. You don't have to live in the same impoverishment. You don't have to live in, listen to me, you don't have to live in the same impoverishment. You don't have to live in the same, you know what, unhealthy situation. You don't have to live this life, the misery, you know what, just pity. You don't have to live in any of that. You can, the Bible says, you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Amen. What's a more than a conqueror? A more than conqueror is a position where you not only are having victory in your life, but you're able to help other people have victory in their life. Amen. And you can't, listen, you will never, never, never do it if you keep on, the Bible's clear. Meditate on that which is good. Amen. Satan has this very strategic purpose in your life to try to get you in a state of depression, misery. It'll never change. Hopelessness. And almost 20 years ago, when Tamara and I first were given the reins of this church, we understood, let me tell you what we need to teach people. Good choices, good life. Amen. You're not like, oh, I don't understand. Listen, today you can start making good choices and pull yourself out of the mess, some of the mess that you didn't even create. Your parents created it, or your grandparents created it, or your great-grandparents created it. But what you have to do is make a decision that you're not going to stay in your mess. And that's what Jesus is teaching these people around him. He's doing, Jesus did all the time. He's having a coaching moment. You think Jesus doesn't know what's going to happen? Jesus knows what's going to happen. He speaks of that fig tree, and that fig tree is, you know what? What do you think? You think that fig tree just withered up, you know, in 30 seconds? No, that's not what happened. I believe they walked away, and that fig tree. You ever cut a tree down? When I do my gardening, if I can, I leave all the trimmings all over the place. You know why I do? You know why I do that? Because in one day, just one day, it gets all dried up. And I can put more stuff in the trash can that way. Well, the next day, that thing was dried up. And Peter like, whoa, what happened? What am I talking about? I'm talking about the handoff. I'm talking about his words are your power. His words are the ones that said, death and life are in the power of the tongue. I'm going to say this in love. Amen. You guys ready for this? I said, I'm going to say this in love. Ready for this? You know what? Some people. Look at your neighbor, say some people. See, who are we talking about? I don't know. I have no idea who I'm talking about. Somebody say some people. Some people, you know what? One of the best things that would really help them out is to go to Home Depot and buy some duct tape. Amen? And just, can you imagine that? You know what I mean? You put that around. I told you this before. Be careful. Don't cover your nose. Amen? I don't want any. Okay. So, but can you imagine walking around with duct tape? Around, you know what I mean? Wow. How many know that might bless you in two ways? Amen? Somebody's going to figure that out later on. When you're over at Tommy's, you're going to get it. And it was, two ways, yeah. Pastor was funny. Yeah, okay. But all I'm saying is, you know what? If all we did was stop cursing our marriage, stop cursing our finances. Listen, stop saying you'll never get out of debt. Stop saying, I'll never change. It'll never change. He will never change. She will never change. They're always going to be like this. I'll never have that. You know what? The church will never, you know what I mean? Listen to me. At one point in time, I had three teenagers. And I would have people who would come up to me and curse my family. They come up to me and they say, people have been cursing my family for a long time. Yeah, you'll help me out. Okay. I don't need no help, but thank you, though. Yeah, see, Peter wanted to do the handoff, didn't he? He's like, I got you, Pastor. I appreciate that. What am I talking about? I'm talking about, you know what? As soon as you know what, right when Shayla was about two, I would hear people say, oh, you know, the terrible twos, the terrible twos, the terrible twos. I'd be like, why don't you, like, talk about the terrific twos? See, where you come up with that? Terrible twos. You know what I mean? Where do you come up with that? And then when they were teenagers, they're teenagers. You got three teenagers. Ooh. Hey, shut your cursing mouth up. See, what we ought to be doing, let's say we have somebody in the family, let's say they have three teenagers. You know what we ought to be doing? We ought to be blessing them. Oh, you know what? I saw your teenager. Oh, man, they are. Oh, man. What are the ages of your kids? 11, 13. Man, they're obedient kids, man. They love God. Amen. I see them. Listen, watch this. I see them at church all the time, man. They love God, man. They were at camp, man. Do you understand what I'm doing? You know what? Why don't you say that? Amen. 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 Why don't you use your words to speak life? Amen. Amen. But for many of us, we just got used to saying so much junk. You know what I mean? I'm starving. Trust me, you're not starving. But I don't say I'm starving. Why? Because I've disciplined myself to not use descriptive death words in my vocabulary. Now, you said, Pastor, you're nitpicking now. No. I'm very conscious of how important our words are. And we have taken this matter way, way too lightly. We need to bless our spouses. We need to bless our kids. We need to. And listen, if you said something crazy about my kids, first of all, I don't even remember who, you know, man, I don't even remember that. But I wouldn't confront you unless we were real good friends. And if we were real good friends, I go, don't say that. Why? Because we had that relationship that I could help you out. And even that, that's a blessing. That's not, I'm not cursing. I'm saying, hey, Bucky, knock it off. You know, I know you love my kids, so we don't go there. Does that make sense? Am I helping somebody out tonight? Am I helping somebody out tonight? And so James says, your whole life is set by that direction. I can tell you exactly where a train's going to go. Exactly where a train's going to go. You know how I can tell you exactly where a train's going to go? You just look and see if the track's going left, that train's going to go left. Is that not right? That's what James says. James says your course is set. Somebody say set. Read it. It says, read James. He says your course is set. Why? By your words. And Jesus, see, all this fits together. Look what Jesus says. Now in the morning, as they passed, verse 20, by, they saw the fig tree dried up. Peter remembered, said to him, Rabbi, look. See, Peter's surprised. Look, the fig tree which you cursed was withered away. Jesus answered and said to, what's that next word there? Come on, one person said it. Read it. So Jesus answered and said to what? Let me teach you what I'm doing when I say said what. Why do I want you to say, everybody say them? Here's why. Because I am a teacher, and this is a training center. Especially Wednesday. We need to really teach this as a class learning. You will remember, you will retain, you will catch so much of what you say. Amen. BMW used to have a commercial, and it said this. It said, BMW, the ultimate. They said, different car companies have different slogans. Ours goes like this. At BMW is the And then it stopped. And then it said, can you help finish the phrase? And I remember saying, ultimate driving machine. What did they want? They wanted me to say that BMW was the ultimate driving machine. Because next time I'm looking for a car, I'm thinking, man, I'm going to go to the Ford dealer, which, if you like Fords, I'm sorry, which is the inferior driving machine. And so are the Chevys, and so are the Mercedes-Benz, and so are the Lexus. Those are all inferior. Because why? Because BMW is the what? And I sat there listening to that commercial, and I said, oh my goodness, these secular people have figured out how important it is. That's why they've done that. They want to stop it, and they want you to complete what they've paid now millions of dollars to get in your head. Are you learning something? Look what Jesus said. And Jesus answered and said to them, said to who?
Yeah.
Said to who?
Yeah.
Them is people, just like you or them. Jesus is saying to them, and tonight Jesus is saying to you. Have faith in God. See, I'm going to tell you something that's going to be a whopper right now. And I want you to believe what I'm saying. For assuredly I say to you. You know what the Bible means when Jesus says, assuredly I say unto you? He says, I'm going to tell you the truth. Every single time you hear Jesus said, assuredly I say unto you, you know what you're going to read after? You're going to read something after that is amazing. You're going to read something after of something that is hard for you to get. That's why he says, guys, I'm telling you the truth. I say to you, whoever says, in my Bible, I have underlined whoever says. Whoever what? Whoever what? Whoever what? Two words are important in that, in the two words. One, whoever, and the second one, says. That's why they're underlined. Whoever says. You know what whoever says? Whoever says means that there's people who aren't going to understand this and they're not going to do it. They're going to think, oh, that's craziness. And he knows that. It's qualified. We have promises in the Bible that are qualified to certain people. They're not everybody. Oh, God loves everybody. God loves everybody. Does God love everybody? God loves everyone. Somebody say, God loves everyone. Okay. But we're not talking about God's love. We're talking about changing situation in your life. And there's so many people, hey, I don't know what God does. I don't know why God doesn't do anything in my life. I don't know what God does. I don't know why this doesn't change. I do. That was good, huh? I do. I do. And if I followed you around, you know what, and started pointing out to how many times you curse, you know what, situations in your life, you would know. Instead of playing like, you know what, nothing's your fault. And it's not your, God says, let me tell you what, I'm going to put you responsible. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. So you choose. Amen. And not only choose for you, but you choose for your kids and your grandkids. That you and your descendants might live. And he's not talking about living like breathing. He's talking about live in this abundance that I have for you. Two words, really important. You know what? Whosoever says. Because a lot of people are going to just walk around and keep on blaming God. Keep on blaming God. Keep on blaming God. Stop blaming God. Amen. Stop blaming God and start to recognize. Oh my God. Have faith in God. I'm going to tell you something. It's going to seem like a whopper. But if you just do what I told you to do, you're going to see crazy radical things take place in your life. Amen.
Amen. Come on.
Whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart. So you got to believe God. Amen. Let me tell you what. There was so many Sundays I would walk out. And I would walk out of my little office in the North Sanctuary. And I could have five rocks and just throw them. And I could guarantee I wasn't going to hit nobody. Because there were so few people in the seats. And I'm working bivocational. Imagine this. I'm preaching. And when I'm done preaching, I get in my car. I go home to try to take a half an hour nap. Because I won't be up. I've been up since 6, 5. And I'm going to be up till at least 1 in the morning. And so I go home to try to take a nap. To put on my smock. And I'm putting on my smock as I'm getting out of my car at Albertson's in Monrovia. And I'm getting out of my car and Satan's like, dude, you ain't a preacher. You just work in a grocery store, dude. That's all you do. What did you do? Well, who cares what Satan says? He's a liar. Amen. I'm like, you lying dog. You think I'm going to believe that lie? No, no, no. Amen. I'm a preaching machine. Amen. 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 And you know what? And I'm gonna be blessed. I'm gonna be blessed. I'm gonna be blessed. I'm gonna be blessed. And the church is gonna be blessed. And you know what? And so the next Sunday I walked out and I saw, you know what, the same 20 people or sometimes fewer than 20 people. And saying, see, you ain't no preaching machine. You know what? You know how to throw milk and check codes on yogurt. That's what you know how to do. What'd you do? I just kept on saying, you know what? I understood the vision that God, here's what I said. I said, you know what? I'm one of the whoever's. I'm going to speak blessings over my kids. I'm going to speak blessing over my marriage. I'm going to speak blessing over Pico Rivera. I'm going to say, you know what? That, you know what? We are going to have a substantial church with a ton of people coming every Sunday and every Wednesday. People getting blessed. People getting blessed. People hearing the powerful word of God, and their life is going to be changed forever. That's what we're going to do. You know, I don't got time to be cursing my own life, allowing the situation to dictate what will continue to be. No business doing that. I got to stop. Speak to the mountain, whatever your mountain is. You curse what you need to curse, and you bless what you need to bless. And you start changing the situations. And I started doing that, and I continue to do that. I continue to do that. And listen, I would like to say, and in 3 years, everything changed. But that's not what happened. But I tell you what, you're here. You're here now. I'm here now. I'm still here. Amen. Hey, Jackson. Now I'm talking to Satan. I ain't working in a grocery store no more. Hello? Amen. We'll see the church this Sunday probably more full than we've ever seen the church. Amen? Amen. More people will come to this church than has ever come to this church in the history of this church. And who's got time? Praise God. And praise God. I didn't go, oh, you know what, this awful job. Who's got time to do that? I walked in that job and said, praise God for the blessings. This job is help subsidizing, you know what the church isn't able to do right now. That wasn't a curse. That was a blessing. See, how are you going to look at your life? Because let me tell you what. You can look at your life as half empty every single day. Let me tell you what will happen in your life. Your life will get more half empty. I don't got time for that. Amen. How many have been encouraged today? You feel slapped around a little in a good way. Amen? Okay. How many going to run over to Home Depot? That we got some time. How many feel like you need to run over to Home Depot? Amen? Well, listen. You don't need to buy some duct tape, but just start paying attention. Start to use what you've been given. With the same mouth that curses is the same mouth that tomorrow can start to bless. Father, I pray for this church. I pray that we would be a church that would start to use what we've been given. May we be responsible. May we be encouraged tonight. May nobody feel condemned. May everybody feel encouraged. But may we leave differently and acting differently. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.